welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. I'm so glad to be here. It's always an honor, a privilege to preach at Hillsong London. It's my favorite place to preach outside of home, outside of Celebration Church. I feel like when I'm preaching at Hillsong London, it's like I get to preach to the whole world in one room because there's so many different nationalities and ethnicities represented here. And so I hope that you're really going to be encouraged tonight as we get into the Word. I want to go ahead and get right into the message. If you have your Bibles or your Bible on your iPhone, you can go to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Come on, we going OT tonight, Old Testament. So I want to look at, it's kind of going to be a verse by verse. We're going to do Numbers chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. Pastor Gary says that the Dominion's giving us the theater until midnight tonight. No, I'm only kidding. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 13, and this is the story here where the children of Israel have the opportunity to immediately go in to the promised land. So God's delivered them out of the land of Egypt, and now they've kind of come up here to the threshold, and they can go straight in to the promised land. And many of you might be familiar with this story, and Moses is going to send 12 spies into just to kind of check out the land that God had given them. I'm going to read chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll kind of skip down to 17 and go over a few more. Numbers 13, 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel." So God's saying, look, I'm giving you this land. Church, I want you to know that God has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Jesus died on the cross for not only our forgiveness, but healing, wholeness. He said, I've come that you may have life, and that life more abundantly. But it's up to us to seize that blessing, those promises that the grace of God provides for us. And he goes on to say here, he says, Moses says, we're going to send men to spout the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one leader among them. And so it kind of goes and it names the leaders from each tribe. You probably know at least two names, and that's Joshua and Caleb, because they're going to come back with a good report. Everybody else comes back with a negative report. And now in verse 17, it says, "So then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land is good or bad. Whether they inhabit camps or strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor. Whether there are forests or not." Now, can y'all keep up with my English when I'm reading fast? Because I wanted you to know that Southern American English is the proper English. Because I'm not only from the southern part of the United States. I'm actually from South Louisiana. Cajun land, bayou country. And so if you really want to get into proper English, it comes from South Louisiana, Cajun English. That's kind of the true nature of our language. So I should be able to read really fast and y'all follow me real easily. Y'all got me? Okay, so just making sure we're clear on where proper English comes from. No disrespect to the motherland here. All right, so he goes on to say, and he's just telling them, look, God's given us the land, but look, man, I want you guys kind of tell me what it's like. I'm excited. We're going to go in and take this thing. And then he also tells them, he says, and bring me back some grapes. Come on, Moses liked grapes. It's just so they went up and they spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near their entrance of Hamath, and they went up through the south, and they came to Hebron. Remember that. Everybody say Hebron. So the first way God leads them through is this place called Hebron. Then it says, Ahiman, Shishaya, and Talmaya. Do y'all think that's the correct pronunciation of these names? Well, it's my message, so I can pronounce them how I want. So I'm going to pronounce these names Ahiman, Shishaya, and Talmaya. Now look, they were the descendants of Anak. So Anak was a giant. I'm not going to get into the history and the theology of the Nephilim, but these are giants. So it mentions three specific giants here. And then verse 23, it says, so after that, they came to the valley of Echol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. Can you believe? Now think about this. You talk about some fruit. You talk about a blessed land. I mean, it took two dudes had to get a pole to hang a big cluster of grapes. Just touch someone and say, but that's some big grapes. Some big old grapes up in that land. But it's big fruit. It's abundant fruit. It's a land of blessing. And then it goes on. It says, you know, so they named that place Eshcol. And then in 25, it says, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and they said, we went to the land where you sent us. Look at this. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. In other words, Moses, this land truly is everything that God said it was. Church, I want you to know that what Jesus says about wholeness, and that he's come that you may have life and that life more abundantly, and you experiencing the grace of God and the goodness of God, and God providing for your life. I want to let you know that God is as good as the Bible says he is, and that truly those blessings are for you. He goes on to, so they say, man, it is, it's true, it's everything you said. But then in verse 28, they say, nevertheless, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. That means there were giants there. And then they go on, they say, look, there's not only giants there, but there's these people all over the place. And none of them are going to like us. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and the worstites of all the cellulites are over there on the beach. You know that joke works in Florida. It doesn't work in London. We have beaches. But goes on to say, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Don't you love how Caleb, and we know that Joshua agreed with him, don't you love how Caleb did not give one circumstance, did not say anything really about any of the obstacles or barriers that they saw? He said, let's go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it. I'm going to show you in just a second why Caleb said that. Because he got a lesson that God was teaching them as they went into the promised land. And this is what we need to understand as the people of God. Because of Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross, And because of Christ in us, listen, whatever you are facing, whatever challenge is on these prayer requests, whatever pain that you have gone through, whatever negativity you are experiencing in life, I'm telling you, you are well able to overcome it in Jesus' name because you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He says we're well able to overcome it. But then they go on and verse 31, it says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, watch how negative this has gotten. Okay, look, here's the report. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Just everybody who lives there is gonna get killed. Look at this. And all the people, everybody, all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. Everybody's a giant. It's a whole nation of Goliaths. There were three. Bible only mentions three. But all of a sudden, everybody's gonna get killed. Everybody's a giant. Everybody's against us. Life is so hard. You got to be, watch. When you start going south, when you start going negative, watch. The enemy can lead your mind to a place that is so far from the truth of the grace of God and the reality of your situation. We got to get out of those mindsets. You know, and then they just go on to say, you know, we saw the giants, descendants of Anak, you know, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about having this Caleb spirit and this overcoming perspective, and I've entitled this message, A Giant Advantage. A Giant Advantage. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you so much for the leadership here, Pastor Gary, Kathy, and all the Hillsong London team. Lord, thank you for this wonderful church. And I just pray tonight for these next 25 minutes, Lord, help us to lean in to your word so that we can understand that no matter what we're facing, we always have a giant advantage in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You know, so just to give you a little bit about kind of my perspective, kind of growing up, my walk with God and learning how to overcome things. You know, when I grew up, I didn't come from a Christian home. So like we didn't go to church, you know, we go every now and then on Christmas and Easter. And so like a lot of young guys that don't have God in their life and don't have guidance, I quickly got into the party scene, got real into cocaine and ecstasy and the whole club scene. Praise God, God set me free from that. I've been clean for a couple of weeks now. And so I was kind of in that whole scene, and I actually was a bouncer at this bar. What are y'all laughing at? Isn't it obvious that I was look at this specimen of a physique. Listen, I might not have it going on now, but back in the day, I had it going on. I got pictures. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But you know, I was growing up kind of in all this craziness and everything like that. And I had, and this is, I'm tying this all back to this prayer and praying for people. But thank God I had an aunt who was praying for me. And I just want to encourage you, no matter what family member or what friend, no matter how it looks on the outside, they can look so far from God. You keep praying for them because God's doing a work on the inside. And they're going to come to know Jesus. And to make a long story short, I surrendered my life to Jesus, man. God totally transformed me, and I began this walk with God, and I've been saved, man. And I would read the Bible, and I would see the promises and the blessings of God. But I remember early in my Christian walk, I had a tough time kind of reconciling, well, if God is so good, Well, then why did he allow this to happen? Anybody else ever wrestled with that question? Or Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Or why is this issue going on? Or Lord, I would kind of look at problems as, hey, now I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and I'm forgiven. Well, then I should have a lot less problems in life. The difficulties should be fewer. But see, back then I had a misunderstanding of the process of God, of how he develops us into being his children who know how to overcome and walk by faith. And that's what he's doing here to the children of Israel as he's leading these 12 spies to spy out the land. Now remember this, they were slaves in Egypt. Israel had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. Okay, God delivers them out of Egypt. They come through the Red Sea. We know that represents, delivers them out of Egypt. The blood of the Lamb represents salvation. They come through the Red Sea. It represents water baptism, right? So you can think of it as that's repentance, a change of mind, regeneration, a change of heart. Now the people of God, now God wants to teach them about redemption. Repentance is a change of mind. Regeneration, a change of heart. Redemption is a change of state. In other words, they were once slaves in Egypt. They are no longer slaves. They are children of God. We were once slaves to the world, children of the world. Now we are not slaves to the world. We are children of God. And so God wants to begin to teach them this process. And so that's why the first place that he leads them is Hebron. So think about this. The spies, before they see the giants or the fruit, the first place that they see or they come through is Hebron. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, Hebron is where Father Abraham and Sarah were buried. That's where their tombs were, in the cave of Machpelah. And so think about this. The spies are coming, about to go check out the promised land. They come to Hebron, and all of a sudden they see Father Abraham's grave. Think about this scene, and they're like, wow, that's Father Abraham. That's the guy we heard about. That's the guy that God blessed. Wait. Father, God gave this land to Father Abraham. Father Abraham was an overcomer. Father Abraham had the favor of God. Father Abraham saw the power of God. Father Abraham was a giant killer. Here's what God is trying to show them. Look, before you go into this land, I want you to know that you come from a long lineage of overcomers. You come from a long lineage of giant killers. That giant killing is in your DNA. Overcoming is in your DNA. Being favored by me is in your DNA. Before you ever get into sizing up the land, you got to recognize now who you come from and who you are. See, God delivered them out of Egypt. He got them out of Egypt. Now he needed to get Egypt out of them. And God had to show them, look, what you came out of, slavery, negativity, defeatist mentality, all of that, what you came out of does not determine who you are. What you came out of, that addiction, that abuse, all that sexual mess, whatever that stuff is, I don't care how messed up you were, how messed up your family was or still is, or what kind of mess you came out of, what you've come out of does not dictate who you are. You are a new creature in Christ. You are an overcomer. Overcoming, it's in your DNA. I can say it this way. He's trying to tell the spies this. Giant killing, it's in your DNA. So look, you can fight it, you can doubt it, you can brush it off, but I'm telling you, if you have received Jesus Christ into your life, man, your heritage is an overcomer. Jesus overcame the biggest giants there were, death, hell, and the grave. offer you, and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now on the inside of you. Oh, you got new DNA. You got God DNA. You have overcoming DNA. So you can fight it, you can brush it off, but I'm telling you, an overcomer is who you are. Killing giants. That's what you do. You take them out. Just look at someone next to you and say, you a stone cold killer. I bet you never heard that one in church. Or I could do it with my London accent. You a stone cold killer. No. Boo, yay or boo? Man, y'all aren't showing this Cajun any love. I'm trying to learn the language. You know what word I've been using all week? Rubbish. It's rubbish. Rubbish. No, yay or boo? This guy says rubbish. All right. But here's what God's showing them. Look, your overcomers, giant killing is in your DNA. He's trying to get to settle the identity issue. You're not slaves anymore. You come from Father Abraham. Your identity, even though you've been in Egypt, that's not who you are. Even though you've been doing that stuff, that's not who you are. Even though you've fallen back into that sin and that mess, that's not who you are. No, you're a child of God. You're forgiven. All of your sins, past, present, and future. God loves you. God is for you. No matter what, He is with you. And overcoming is in your DNA. If you don't settle the identity issue, you will never have the courage to face the giants and the challenges in your life. Okay, so watch. So he shows them, look, you come from Father Abraham. He killed giants. He overcame. I gave him this land. So know who you are. So now what they do is like they got that. But now they look out over the promised land. And lo and behold, man, golly, there's some awesome fruit. Look at those grapes over there in that valley. It's like in the same picture. It's like, man, look at all that awesome fruit and blessing. But God, look at these giants. It's like they're looking at the fruit, but then they see their foes. They're looking at the blessing, but then they see the battle they're going to have to go through to get the blessing. See, a lot of times what we want the fruit without having to face the foe. But most of the times how God sets it up is the fruit is in the foe. There is a blessing in the battle. Jesus wouldn't call us overcomers if there weren't things that we needed to believe him for to overcome. See, the reason why God had giants in the promised land, he had to have them there. He had giants in the promised land as an insurance policy that only a people of faith would inherit the land. If there were no giants there, if there were no obstacles there, then what are they doing? They're keeping their same, it's a self-reliance, world defeatist, Egypt mentality coming in to the promised land, but then they none of it would work. Why? Because what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith, how do we walk? We walk by faith. How do we inherit the blessings of God? By faith. The giants were God's insurance policy to make sure that only a people of faith would inherit the promised land. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. It was a set up lesson so they would go from self-reliance to God-reliance. Now, this is what I want to say that. Watch. Many of you, You're looking at your obstacle as just an obstacle that needs to get out of your life. Instead of looking at your obstacle as an opportunity for God to show himself strong and bring fruit and abundance and blessing in your life, because I'm telling you, the fruit is in your foe. The blessing is in the battle. It's really interesting that God mentions, or the Bible mentions, three types of fruit and three giants. It mentions grapes, pomegranates, and figs. What do grapes represent? Obviously, redemption. The blood of Jesus, right? Here's what God is saying. There's a fruit, there is a blessing, there's an abundance that's going to come into your life when you learn how to trust me in the trial. When you learn how to rely on me in the difficulty, you are going to experience the power of the redemptive work of the blood of Jesus. Redemption, change of state. In other words, you are going to experience the blessing of the power of God, of him actually changing you from the inside out into the image of Christ. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? The other thing, is pomegranates. If you go to Jerusalem, pomegranates are on every temple, every synagogue. Pomegranates represent worship. What God's saying is, I'm going to teach you in your battle, I'm going to teach you how to really worship me, even when you don't see the breakthrough. I'm going to teach you how to worship me when you don't see the answer to your prayer in the way that you want to see it. I'm going to teach you how to worship me even in the most painful times of your life. And you know what? You're going to find out that when you worship me, even in the most difficult of circumstances, that sometimes you'll find that truly Jesus is all that you need, and he is the all-sufficient one, and he can comfort you in ways that you didn't know you could be comforted. He can heal you in ways that you didn't know that you could be healed. You see, too many times we spend too much time worrying and not enough time worshiping. And what God is saying, look, if you will turn your worry into worship, there is some major fruit and abundance that I'm going to bring into your life. What did all the other, except Joshua and Caleb, what did all the spies do? Oh, everybody's huge. Everybody's dying. Everybody's going to kill us. Worry, 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 worry. What did Caleb do? God, you're on our side. We are well able to overcome. Caleb was thanking God before they ever even went into the land for the victory that he had already given them. Come on, praise God for that. I used to be such a worrier. Is anybody else a worrier? Who's a worrier? Come on, be honest. Raise your hand. Don't be lying in church. Don't be lying. Man, I was such a worry. I'd spend so much time worrying. Here's what I figured out. Watch. Just turn your worry into worship. Okay, watch. Think of all the energy that you spend worrying. If you could develop a practice, a habit, when you start worrying, I'm just going to take that energy that I'm already giving to worry. See, worry is energy wasted. You don't need to add any extra energy to worship. You just need to take the energy you were given to worry and now give that energy to worship. Worry is energy wasted. Worship is energy invested. When you begin to worship and you begin to thank God, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Thanksgiving is the foundation of fertile soil for faith. What happens? There might be giants in the land, but when you have faith, you overcome those natural circumstances. I'm telling you, turn your worry into worship, and you'll experience that abundant fruit and blessing that God has for your life. And then there are figs. Figs are everywhere in Israel. They represent provision. represent provision. See, everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants a raise, right? Hopefully. You want a promotion, right? Hopefully. I mean, on those, the prayer requests, so many of those were financially related, right? Watch, watch. There's a blessing of provision, of financial increase, but see, many times that fruit is in a foe. And you know what it is for many people? You know what that foe is? The fear of tithing. The fear of giving something significant to heart for the house. See, here's what happens. We want the blessing. Bless me, God. Give me a raise, God. I want this promotion. I want you to bless my business, God. See, we want the fruit, but oh, there's the foe. The fruit's in the foe. The blessing's in the battle, and that fear, that giant of fear, is holding me back from God's abundance in my life. Why don't you, for once and for all, say, I am no longer running from that giant of the fear of tithing or the fear of giving something significant to the heart for the house. And you step out in faith and you slay that giant and you watch God begin to bless your life. You watch God begin to give you increase. He wants to bring provision. But many times that blessing comes with a battle. Then three giants. You ready for this? Three giants. I'm not going to go back and say their names again, but let me tell you what the three names mean in Hebrew, okay? One of their names, think about this. One of their names means plowman or worker. And isn't it true that some of our biggest challenges and difficulties come in the area of our work, our career, our finances, our jobs? See, you always have seasons in your life where there's a challenge, a giant in your work or career. Can I tell you this? Don't look at that as an obstacle. Look at it. This is just an opportunity allowed by God for me to experience more abundance in my life. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? You know what another one's name means? It's like patterned, a patterned undergarment. And isn't it true? Many times in our lives, the giants are those patterns closest to our soul, those old behavior patterns, those sins, those addictions. Listen, I want to encourage you today, it doesn't matter what you've done. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus washes away every single sin and mistake. And no matter what kind of issues you have, I want to let you know that God loves you. That God is for you. Remember, what you came out of does not determine who you are. You are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High. Listen, don't you give up. Don't you lay down to that giant. Don't you think that you're worthless. Don't you think that you're some kind of monster or whatever that. Don't you give up. If you fall down, you just keep getting right back up, because I'm telling you, the forgiveness and grace of God is always there. And then the other giant is, think about this. The other giant's name means relative or family member. Isn't it true that many times the challenges in our lives, the most pain comes in our marriages, families, and all that? In fact, how many of you have at least one crazy family member? Who has a, raise your hand if you have a crazy person in your family. Raise your hand high. Let me see. Okay, put them down. So, if you did not raise your hand, then in your family, you the crazy one. It's you trying to help you out. And then remember this. And so I'm closing with this. And so remember this also. They came back, they said, man, we can't take this land anyway. There's too many people there. There's the Hittites over here, and you know, there's all these different people over here. But what they thought was a setback was actually a setup. Because if you understand anything about military strategy, think about this. Here's the land. Here's all these different peoples separated, no treaties, no alliances. In other words, it was a land divided, a house divided against itself, cannot stand. God had the land totally set up for them to take, because they weren't going to have to go fight everybody all at once. They could take a step, kind of gain ground over here, take out this group, then take another step, conquer that group, and then another step. In other words, the way God was bringing them their abundance and wholeness and provision was not all at once, but at one step at a time. Remember this, you can always gain ground in your relationship with God, and you can always gain ground in your life if you're willing to gain ground in steps. But see, in the church, unfortunately, we don't like steps. We don't like those scriptures. You know, like godliness with contentment is great gain. We don't like that. You know what we want? We want everything at once, don't we? We don't want a step. You know, we don't like the step of faith. We like the leap of faith. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could just have one moment right here. God, just fix everything. All the single people, one moment. You walk out of here, here's your mate. You know what I'm saying? Just one moment. All my sins, all my struggles, everything. Come on, God, it's Hillsong Conference. Tonight's the night. I'm ready for the leap of faith. But see, watch. Let's say this over here represents, watch, this is wholeness. This is God's promises. This is the abundant life. This is free. That's what this represents. Look, stop trying just to tackle the whole thing at once. Don't put, okay, here's, you know, it's like this. We fill out a prayer request. You write down all your problems, everything you need to be fixed, and this is the kind of spouse I want, and this is how much money I want to make. I need you to set me free from all these things, and then you sign it, and within 24 hours in Jesus' name. Because we want the leap. We want it all now. I want it all. I want it now. I want to do life my way. So, Lord, tonight's the night. Come on, do y'all think I can jump? Think I can do a leap of faith to that pulpit? What do y'all think? Can I do a leap of faith? Here I go. Ah! Oh, man. Man, the Bible's just not working how I thought it was going to work. Why doesn't God allow, I mean, maybe I can do it. Y'all think I can do it again? Come on, what do you think? Can I get it this time? Here I go. Come on, God. Leap of faith. I know the Bible says somewhere, the leap of faith shall fix all. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Oh, man. See, the Bible doesn't say that the leaps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. It says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. All you need to ask God, Lord, what's my next step? And then you take one step and God will show you your next step. And that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Where are they ordered? Into the blessing and promises of God. And if I'll go step by step, come on, can you give God a hand for that? You can always, remember this. There's only one real giant, and that giant is on the inside of you. That's Jesus Christ. You always have the advantage, because Jesus is in you, and greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. Know who you are. Gain ground in steps and know that you always have the advantage, because you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.